society, not to me. So just so that people know that for sure, inshallah. The topic, amusing ourselves to death, was one that I think I probably spent the entire week and most of my day trying to figure out what I was supposed to talk about. And it's probably only about an hour before I got here that I finally figured it out. Brother Dawood and I had several discussions in the week as to what we were supposed to talk about, and we still couldn't figure it out because it's such a mysterious topic, as Brother Taha had said. So what I did was I sort of put my slant to what I perceive amusing ourselves to death to mean. And so, as I usually do, I always like to start off asking the audience a couple of quick questions just by showing hands, right? So that's what I'm going to do. My first question, and yes or no, right? So you can just put up your hand when I say yes or no. Is it haram or is it wrong, right, to have fun, to have amusement? Is it haram? If you think it, yes it is, just put your hand up. MashaAllah. Okay, it's not haram to have amusement and fun. Put your hand up. Okay, you can't not put your hand up, okay? So you have to choose one. How many people think it's okay to have amusement and fun? Put your hand up. Okay, and how many people think it's not okay? Put your hand up. Okay. Okay, we have one taker over there. Okay. The other question is, and you can just quickly just shout out, you know, a few ideas, and I'm not going to discuss it. I just want to get an idea of what people think. How do we amuse ourselves? What do we do? What kind of stuff do we do to amuse ourselves? Play? Okay. Sleep? Yeah, sleep can be amusing, yeah. Read? Okay, yeah, reading. Anything else? Sorry? TV? Okay, yeah. Anything else, sisters?
Chill.
Yeah, we can chill, yeah, okay. Alright, now my last question is not a trick question, okay? The question is, are you stupid? If you think you're stupid, put your hand up. Okay, how many of you are not stupid? Put your hand up. Okay, I would hope everybody here isn't stupid. Okay, the first thing that I want to look at is the ayah in the Quran. Allah says, وَمَا حَيَاتَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ وَالدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Right, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this in the Quran, and what that means is, and what is this world except play and amusement? Okay, so Allah says, what is this world except play and amusement? But best is the home in the hereafter for those who are righteous. Will you not then understand? Right, that's in chapter 6, Allah says that. And in another ayah, in chapter 57, Allah always says, اَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخَرُوا بَيْنَكُمْ. Right, Allah says this as well. And He says, know you that the life of this world is but play and amusement, pomp and mutual boasting. Right, so Allah tells us that in the Quran as well. And then somewhere else in the Quran, actually at the end of that same ayah, it's a very long ayah, at the end of that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا حَيَاتَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Right? And this is the ayah that I'm going to concentrate on. And what is the life, is this life, but goods and things of deception. Okay? So this is what Allah tells us in the Quran. Right? 1400 years ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us that this is what this life is about. And this is a warning for the believers. So, how does all of that tie into amusing ourselves to death? We talk about, like, it mentions amusement, it mentions play, but how does that tie into the whole concept of amusing yourself to death? A lot of you already answered the question, can we amuse ourselves? Are we allowed to? And the question is yes. The Sahabas used to laugh, they used to engage in sports, they used to have fun with each other, they used to smile. The Prophet ﷺ always smiled, right? And we're allowed to do that. Like, Islam is not you know, some people think Islam is, you have to be serious, and you don't, you know, you don't smile and you don't talk to anybody, and anything you do, you always, you know, have to be serious about it. So sometimes when you go to weddings, you think you're going to a funeral because everybody's so somber, and they're like, it's almost like, you know, there's no fun in Islam, right? Now, how do we amuse ourselves? Some of you guys thought, oh, we hang out, we play ball, we watch movies. I didn't hear anybody say that, right? Video games, didn't hear that. Soap operas, didn't hear that. But I know people do, right? Sports, big thing, right? Watching it on TV or being a part of sports, right? Clothes, makeup, you name it, we have it, right? We can keep distracting ourselves with tons of things. And so the question that comes to us is, how much is too much? Where do we draw the line, right? And, you know, if I was probably a lot younger and I was, you know, coming to a lecture, I would probably think, okay, I'm coming to this lecture and they're going to tell me I can't do this and I can't do that. And so here's Brother Jihwan saying, how much is too much, right? And then this is where Brother Jihwan is going to say, you're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to do that. I'm not going to talk about that. Not just yet, right? Inshallah. And when I asked how many people were stupid, nobody put their hand up, right? Which is good, alhamdulillah. I want to say something about the idea of this topic, right? And it might sound a little bit strange to people, but I want you to listen to what it is I'm saying. And I submit to you, right, that many of the ways that we amuse ourselves, many of the ways that we use to distract ourselves, to have fun, to enjoy time, to escape reality, anything you want to look at it as, right, keeps us at a certain level of ignorance, right? And that, you're going to say, well, how, right? And why I say that the ways that we keep ourselves occupied, sometimes it keeps us ignorant, the ways in society, right, is that it's in society, right, is that it stops us from thinking. We forget how to think because we keep distracting ourselves with all these different things. If I'm not watching TV, I'm listening to the radio. If I'm not listening to the radio, I'm playing sports. If I'm not playing sports, I'm reading a magazine. I'm doing something to keep distracting myself. Because a lot of times, if we stop to think about what's going on around us, it's too much to deal with. It's too much pressure. Right, and so we need that escape, especially in this society where everything's always fast, it's always going, you're always going and you can't stop. And sometimes you just want to take 2 minutes out and just forget about everything. Right? Does that sound strange to people or no? No nodding, no nothing. Does that sound strange? It sounds strange? The things I'm saying doesn't make sense or make sense? Make sense? Okay. So far, okay. So وَمَا حَيَاتَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَعُ الْغُرُورِ Right, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, right? And the life of this world, right? And what is this life but goods and things of deception? And you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already told us, right? He already told us what this life is like, right? 1400 years ago when the Quran was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that this is what life is like. And where do we situate ourselves when it comes to that? So, we might spend a lot of time, and I want you guys to think about it. How much time you actually sit down, and how much time you've had discussions about these things, and how long you've discussed them for. Or sat, you know, for example, Matt Sundin, right? How much money should he be paid, and whether or not he'll be good for Toronto, and if this is the best move, and stuff like that. More so for the brothers, right? The brothers are always talking about this, right? What's going on with the Leafs and with the Jays and this one and the other, the Raptors, and who's here and who's there and who got traded and who... I could start listing it off for you, right? And I know the discussions because I've had them sometimes with people, right? And then there's all those video games, right? And I know especially, I don't know too much with the sisters if they're really into video games, but I know with the brothers... Okay, they're all meeting up online and they're playing Risk online and they're doing all these different things online, or they're having these little you know, parties at their house where they're all like shooting each other in the head to see who can win. Video games, I mean, not the real thing, right? Then there's the other thing. spending a lot of time on things like fashion. How are we looking? What does it look like? What's the latest style out? Who has this? Who bought this? How much money did they spend? Does this look good? You know, spending about, 2 hours to get dressed before you can go to one event because, that particular thing didn't look just right. Right? Stuff like that. Or watching TV. And now, TV isn't just enough, so they started having reality TV, right? We want real TV. So Survivor and Big Brother and The Mole, and I can keep naming them, and people have been watching them, right? So I won't ask, I'm sure nobody here has watched any of these shows, right? I'm talking about all the other people, right? So we spend a lot of time doing this kind of stuff. And we also watch the news, right? How many people here watch the news? Okay, not too many. Okay, we watch the news and we think, right, that we're informed, right? Or we read the news, or we hear it on the radio, right? And we think we know what's going on. Really, do we know what's going on? I'm not sure, right? And so then we can come to the next thing. And why is it deception, right? Why am I saying that all these things sort of add up to deception? What is it is deceiving about these things, right? And the way that it's deception, or the way that I put forward, or I submit, or I suggest to you that it is deception, is because it takes away all our time, right? It takes away so much of our time that it takes us away from reality. So we're so consumed thinking about all these things that we don't know what's really going on around us. Right? We're too busy looking good or feeling good or watching something or hanging out or whatever, right? To really pay attention to what is going on around us. And that is where the problem comes about, right? And so now our reality, right, becomes the things that we surround ourselves with, right? So if we're always watching TV, or we're always, playing sports or listening to sports or discussing it or whatever, some of the things that I mentioned, that becomes your reality. So you have to start thinking now, well, what is my reality? How much time do I spend doing these things, and how much time do I not spend doing these things? What is my reality? Who am I? And is your life, is that what it's about? Right? Is that what you're meant to do? Spend all this time just doing that, and then each day just keeps going by, another day, another day, another day, and then one day you'll die. We'll all die, right? What would you accomplish? And you hear it so many times. I don't know how many of you listen to that, or you hear it, or you see it on TV, but you see it so many times when people are like 40, all of a sudden it dawns on them, oh my God, what did I spend my life doing? Right, it's all gone now. I have nothing else, And then they get on this big trip, I'm going to make this list, and then you start. And then they get on this big trip, I'm going to make this list, and then you start watching, rediscovering your spirit on Oprah to find out how to reconnect, right? Right, how to find yourself, right? And how to be able to achieve all those things in your life. So you start making a list of 101 things that you have to accomplish, right? And you become a billionaire before you turn 60, right? Stuff like that, right? And these are the things that I'm talking about. It's not far away from all of us because we all get caught up in it, right? To some extent, right? Now, I'm not talking about, when I say how much time do you give for Allah, how much time do you, I'm not talking about just praying your salah. I'm talking about how you live your life. The way that you effect change, the way that you change yourself and the people around you. Because ultimately it comes back to that. And we had this discussion some time ago when I came to the mosque and we had the YM thing there. And I said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when He created us, He put on earth a Khalifa to represent Him. And He sent us forward as the people who will represent Islam, who will bring the message to people. And what does that mean? And that's what I'm talking about. Do you necessarily have to be serious and hardcore and you never smile and you have to be miserable your whole life? Is that what it means? I don't think so. Right? Now, when we start letting all these things distract us, that we become ignorant of the truth, that we don't see the truth that is around us, that's where it starts becoming a problem. That's where we amuse ourselves to death. Because we just, our lives are filled with so much distraction that we can't see anything anymore. All we see are the things that distract us. And I'll give you an example of that later on. Do you think, right, when you spend time, you know, all the time watching, you know, when you're reconnecting your with your spirit, or you're discussing, you know, whether or not, you know, the Jay should trade this person or that person and all that kind of stuff. Do you think it'll help your akhirah in the end when you die and you're all alone in that hole and you're covered up? What happens then? Ultimately, Muslims have to be involved in society. I'm not saying don't be involved, but I'm saying how you're involved. Question your own involvement, right? And if you think that generally this society wants young people, regardless of if they're Muslim or not, but they want young people who are thinking, or any group of people who are thinking about what is going on in society and how to bring about change, just like the Sahabas at a very young age who were involved in running the society, right? Do you think they really want a group of people like that? I would say, with the way it is structured now, that they don't. They don't want a group of people who are very positive thinking and they want to go out there and change things and bring good in the society. They don't want that to just happen like that, because what will happen to their power? What will happen to their control? And then we could go into a whole long discussion about things like capitalism and globalization and all that kind of stuff. Another topic, another day. Right? So what they want in society is to keep people ignorant. They want to keep you stupid. They want to amuse you. They want to distract you so that you don't pay attention to the reality, so that you don't pay attention to the things that are going on around you. And when you do that, when you become distracted, then you just become another cog in the wheel that just keeps spinning round and round and round, and things don't change. And they want to keep people like that until they get very old, right? And then they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't do all these things in my life. My life's almost done now, right? And this is what Islam came to make sure that we did. After you're a child, you're not a teenager. You're a child, and then you become an adult. You have responsibilities. And your responsibilities are yours. You become accountable after you pass a certain age. Allah will ask you how you spent your time. And Islam gave us, it empowered us from a young age to be able to bring about change, to make change, to do things that will bring about something good in society for everybody. Let me give you an example, a little snapshot of reality as it's around us. And sometimes we don't know, and sometimes it's good to remind ourselves. Sometimes we know, but we're not exactly sure. For example, and the stats that I'm going to give you, some statistics, a lot of them are from the United States, some of them are from Canada, but I've given the North American context as opposed to the worldwide context, because we're a part of the North American context. In the United States, you have the highest rate of teen pregnancy in the entire world. Okay? Four in ten young women are pregnant before the age of 20. Right? 4 in 10. Right? And 79% of these people are not married. Okay, and that's approximately, you're looking at like 1 million young women. Now you would think, you know, for all the stereotypes that there are, that you'd find higher percentages in Muslim countries than you would here. But it's not. Okay? 26.4% of all of total households and with families are single mothers. That breaks down to about 1 in 4, right? In Canada, there are over 1 million single-parent families. 1 million, right? And in Toronto alone, there's 176,000 families like this. In 1998, 32% of all the births were to unmarried women. With regards to students, 50% of high school students have had engaged in sexual relations, 50% of high school students. And a lot of parents don't like when I get up here and I say things like this, because they say, you're encouraging them. I'm not encouraging them, because all of you in high school, you know what's going on, regardless of if you talk about it at home or not. You know This is not new to you. 17% of students carried a weapon in the last month. 17%. 36% were in a physical fight this year. 19% of all students were considered suicidal. 26% were overweight or at risk of being overweight. 35% of students are current smokers. Right? That is to give you a snapshot of some of the things that are around us that we see all the time and we're not necessarily aware of, or we're aware of it impacts us because it's there and it's a part of our reality. But how many of us actually pay attention to this reality? With regards to the world, right now the current productions of, in terms of the world harvest for things like wheat, maize, corn and rice are enough to meet the needs of the entire global population. Enough to feed every single person in the world. Except that if you were to look at organizations like UNICEF and other such organizations, they will tell you that hunger plagues over 841 million people in the world. 841 million people. 30 million of those people alone are in the US. In Toronto, 60,000 children go to sleep every night hungry. Right? And 34,000 children die every day from hunger. These are children. We're not even counting adults right now. 34,000. Nearly one in four people in the world live, and that comes up to about 1.3 billion people, right? Live on less than a dollar a day. Now you think how much money you spend in one day, every single one of us here. Less than a dollar a day, right? While the world, there are 385 billionaires in the world. And the total amount of their assets, the 385 billionaires, the total amount of their assets exceeds the combined annual income of the countries with 45% of the world's population. Now you think about that. I'm not just talking about the whole world and think that Toronto doesn't have these problems. They're right here in Toronto. There are children who go to sleep hungry every night. $8 billion a year is the amount of revenue generated from the cosmetics industry. $6 billion would alleviate world hunger. $6 billion. Right? That's to give you an example. And if we were to institute something like zakat, which is a little over 2%, 1.2% of zakat would be able to, if we were to institutionalize that, 1.2% of zakat would be able to eradicate world hunger, if we were to do it properly. Now, and 70% of the world's poor are women. And it's important for us to know that. Because in the end, even in the poorer countries, women still outlive men. Now, do you think, right, and the reason why I raise all these things is, and it seems really bleak and then people feel really, really bothered by it, and it is important to feel bothered by it. Something would be wrong if we didn't. But the reason why I raise all these things is that we forget. And so we're so busy distracting ourselves that we forget that we're here and we're meant to try and do something about these things. This is why Allah put us here. This is the purpose for our existence in this world. And if we're so busy arguing over trivial old things like, you know, do I wipe my socks in wudu or not? Or if we're too busy distracting ourselves with all the TV and all the video games and all the makeup and all the movies and all the this and all the that, when are we going to do anything that will really have an impact? Are you guys selling your own self short? Am I selling myself short by thinking that I don't have what it takes inside of me to be able to make change, to be able to do something positive? And that's what starts happening to us, where we forget, right? And we think, and this society makes us think when you're young that you're just supposed to be partying all the time, that you'll probably be drunk all the time, and all you want to do is just have fun, and that's what life is about. Life is about having fun, but that's not all life is about. Fun is a segment of life. Right? But when our entire life becomes like that, that's when we start losing our entire focus. That's when we start becoming deceived. That's when we start amusing ourselves to death. And it's not just our own life, But it's the life of all the other people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us on the day of judgment. Wait a minute, did you help so-and-so who went to sleep in Toronto, your neighbor, Muslim or non-Muslim, who went to sleep hungry? Did you go and donate blood when somebody needed, when one pint of your blood could save four lives? Did you do that? Did you even think about that? No, because we're too busy, right? We have all these other priorities in our life. And then until we become the person on the receiving end, until we become the person who's going to sleep hungry, until it's our family who needs a bone marrow transplant, until it's us who needs a blood transfusion, until it's us who are on the brink of homelessness, and all of a sudden it's like, where are the Muslims? Nobody wants to talk about it. Right? Nobody wants to talk about it. And you think, if you were to go forward and bring the solutions that Islam brought, bring the ideas of zakat, bring the ideas of loving people and being for the people and being a part of society, as you start bringing these things to people, don't you think it would have an impact? And do you think society is structured in a way to let you do that? No, they want to distract you, because if they don't distract you and people start seeing what Islam is about and they start seeing how comprehensive it is and that it's not a fundamentalist, it's not some sort of extreme thing, we're not running around bombing people, that it's about social change, it's about bringing change to people. When people start seeing that, then they'll start wanting to come to Islam as well. But if we become just like everybody else in society and we're in the 9-to-5 grind, right, we're, oh, I gotta go to work, or I gotta go to, I don't have time to do that. And then we start, you know, becoming just like the model person in this society, and we start forgetting that we're supposed to be the ones to change it, to be different, to try and think of things that are practical in the society and to do it. When we start doing that, then we fail, regardless of if we're young or we're old. Right? And that is something for us to think about. Right? And that's the whole point. That's why I asked people in the beginning, how many of you here are stupid? And no one put their hand up. And the point is that you're not stupid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us about the deception of this life. So we should be able to see through these things so that we're out there doing the things that count. Every single one of us. I don't care if you're 10 or if you're 99. Every single person can do something. I don't know how many of you guys saw on Global TV the young Charlie was about 8, who spent quite a lot of his time raising money to dig wells in Africa. He got national coverage for the work that he was doing. Because he, when he was younger, his mother told him, his teacher told him about the suffering that was going on. And so what he started doing was saving up his allowance, and his parents started helping him and teaching him how he could be somebody who can change things. 8 years old. How old are we here? And I'm not just talking about all over the world. Like I said, 60,000 young people, equivalent to filling the sky dome, go to sleep hungry. And what then about what the Prophet ﷺ said, that if you go to sleep with your stomach full and your neighbor goes to sleep with their stomach empty, what does that say about you as a believer? But we've forgotten these things, right? Or we've become distracted by all the things that distract us. Every single one of us, and I'm speaking to myself too. I'm not speaking to everybody else and not myself, to myself first. Right? Now, the last thing is that I wanted to say is, it is enough for us to look at our history. We have a heritage that is rich, that shows us how young people were involved in society and how they brought about change. If you look from the very beginning, Mu'ayyad ibn Jabal, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Omar, Osama bin Zayd, I can keep listing off all the names. They led armies. They were changing society. They were in charge of society. They were helping the poor. They were helping the weak. They didn't stop and say, well, I'm just going to help the Muslims in society. They were helping everybody, because that is our job. They were doing what needed to be done. And while I was doing all my research for this lecture, I came across this website that was really, really quite uplifting, because it showed a lot of what young children across the US, what they were doing and how they were bringing change.
And I thought it would be nice for us to look at and listen to some of the examples of these young children, because perhaps it will motivate us to think of the things that we can do. Right? A group of 12-year-olds in Massachusetts went to their state capital and they testified to their Congress, they testified to their government. They basically brought forward a petition about banning smoking on the school grounds. Based on their testimony, based on the petition that these 12-year-olds arranged, they banned smoking on school grounds for all people. There's another group, again in Massachusetts, another 12-year-old who started a petition to protect a wooded area, a part of the environment that was at risk because of the fact that there was a condo development that was going up. And so they were going to destroy this area. And so this 12-year-old started a petition and got other young children involved. Till this day, that piece of wooded land is still there because of their work. Right? A group of grade 7 students, right? They did something with the museum in their area, celebrating the arts in honor of World Hunger Education. And what they did was they adopted a single parent family, and they fed them, and they also gave them what they termed to be a Christmas to remember. And they have a right to do so. That is the festival that they celebrate. But they adopted a single parent family. And if you think there aren't a lot of Muslim families in shelters in Toronto, people, for all of us here, young and old, young kids like yourself, younger, mothers, sisters, a lot of them, we need to just go and visit just one. And I can guarantee you'll find at least 5. At least. Right? In Chicago, there was a health center, and this was one of the most motivating things that I read about. There was a health center that was there that was doing a lot of work for the poor, right? And they were doing it for pregnant mothers, for women, for children, especially the poor, because, and they were at risk, you know, they were going to be shut down. And so a group of 50 children, okay, 50 children. How many people are here? More than 50, right? We probably have 50 on one side. Right, 50 children who organized a protest against it, and that community center is still there. And it's still helping the poor and the needy. And they're probably helping Muslims and non-Muslims. And regardless of who they're helping. Right, they're doing the things that we're supposed to do. When you start looking at other things, like the fact that maybe over, 1 million square miles of our ozone has been depleted, right, that Ontario is the worst polluter in Canada and the fourth worst in North America, that 16 million tons of pollution has been put up in our atmosphere, and you'll ask yourself, you'll go to all the fancy lectures and you'll hear Muslims say, oh yeah, Islam deals with the environment, Islam's about environmentalism. How many of us are in the forefront of dealing with it? How many of us are helping the people who are homeless? How many of us are helping the people who are weak? Right? A lot of it sounds sad, and it's because it is sad. But the reason why I raise these examples is because every single one of us here, every single one of us can do something. And what my challenge is to all of you tonight is when you leave here, or when you are leaving, right, I want you to really, before you go to sleep tonight, take account of how much time you spend doing all the things that I talked about initially, and how much time you ever gave thought to trying to go out and maybe giving a sandwich to somebody who's homeless downtown at Yonge and Dundas. Right? Or trying to do something else like that. Anything with any agency, Muslim or non-Muslim. Running for the Arthritis Society is something that I did because arthritis affects 4 million Canadians. It affects a lot of people all across North America. And that's just something, that's one of the ways that I can give back. But every single one of you here has a talent. Every single one of you has a gift. Allah doesn't create fools. Allah doesn't create people just to take space on the earth. So every single one of you has something that you can give. Brother or sister, mother or father, right? Student or worker. Whatever you are, whoever you are, whatever your position, there is something that you can do. Look for it. Look for it. Try to see how you can do something, what change you can bring, however small it is. Because for every life you change, that will be something that you will get the reward in this life and the hereafter. And for us, that is our goal. It's not for people to come back and say thanks to us. And so that is my, that I hope, inshallah, that at the end of this discussion, that we can see at least two things. That when we distract ourselves so much, we are amusing ourselves to death. Because reality escapes us. But if we stop now, or we evaluate, or we think about things, and think about what we can do, and know that every single one of us can do something, and trust me, if you think you can't do something, you come and talk to me and I'll tell you what you can do. Because I'm sure you can do something, every single person. So inshallah, I leave that with you. That is my challenge to you, that is my request to you, that is what I would love for you to think about. And inshallah, you have forums like Young Muslims, you have other agencies where this can be put together in an organized way, and we can do work together in an organized manner. Because that's the other thing, if everybody runs off and does their own thing, then we'll achieve nothing in a long space of time and a short space of time. But if we think about it, and we think, okay, I can do this, go to Young Muslims, take them up. Say, you know what, I can do this. Can you help me do it? And I'll hold them responsible in terms of if they can do it, helping to find you a place where you can do it. Right, Brother Taha? Okay, inshallah. So, yeah, inshallah, otherwise they'll refer it over to me, right? So inshallah, that is what I want to leave you with. Now, the last thing before I end, one of the things that I had done, and inshallah, that I wanted to show you, was just something about the idea of social, something called social positioning or social construction. And the idea or the theory of that is that sometimes the things that we watch, right, we're not even aware of how they impact on us, or if there are subtle messages that are in there of things that we don't see. Now, some of them are blatant. So I brought two movies. Right, one of them is very blatant. I don't know how many of you here have seen Executive Decision. Maybe you don't want to say that right now, right? One of the movies is Executive Decision, and the other movie is Lion King, right? And it's interesting. Now, a big part of what I did at university was to look at these things and show, learn how they impact on us, right? And learn how sometimes we things escape us. That we see and we don't see. And so what they taught us to do was to be critical when we even view these things. Right? So the first video in there, got it? Exactly. Right? It's something that's very blatant. And we know that, I hope we know that this is not who we are. Right?
Okay.
Now, okay, now, what's the scene that was telling me? Actually, the scene that I saw was the unedited version that when it came out at the theater, I saw this. Apparently, it's no longer in the video, I guess, maybe because of people's reactions to it. It was initially a scene of where the head terrorist was reading the Quran, right? He's reading the Quran, and then he starts talking about how Allah, you know, wants us to punish the Western devil, right, and stuff like that. Instead, this is another scene from that, right? And I just want you to just look at it, right? I don't want you to go and rent the movie, okay? Because it's a waste of time, this one particularly. But it...
Okay, there's one other thing that I want to
Something I'm going to leave it with Brother Dawood and Sister Yannette, inshallah, they'll be able to discuss it with you, the reason why I showed those two particular scenes when they do the panel discussion, because that is more in gear for more discussion and it's almost time for Salah. But I wanted to show those two scenes, right? And I just want you to just think about what you saw, that's all, right? Just think about what you saw and think about, for those of you who have seen the movie, if you saw it, what you thought about the movie. Was it good? Was it bad? Was it in between? Was there anything that you saw in it or didn't see? Right? And we'll just leave that there. So I've said what I've said. Anything that's good from it is purely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anything that was wrong or any mistakes that I've made are from myself. And for that I ask Allah's forgiveness and for yours. I'm yours as well, inshallah. And now we'll end for Salatul Asr. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.